So tell us a little bit about you. Is anarchist the very first experience for you in the struggle, or you start with something else?
You were gonna ask about me, myself?
Yeah, yourself.
Myself, well, I'm Chuck Munson.
Exactly.
Anarchist, activist, librarian, troublemaker in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I do a lot of stuff online, do a lot of websites. I do infoshop.org, which is a popular anarchist activist website. I do some websites for some magazines, including the Anarchy Magazine and Alternative Press Review.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a member of the collective for Alternative Press Review. We have a new issue coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, right.
And I do Practical Anarchy Zine.
Yes.
And I do activism, ranging from anti-censorship stuff within the library profession to right now I'm getting ready for the World Bank IMF
program. Right. I'm going to ask you about that later.
When did you first get involved in anarchism?
I guess I first became an anarchist back in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
When I was a student at the University of Kansas. I was involved with the student divestment protest movement, and I met some anarchists in Lawrence, Kansas.
Was that your first experience in the struggle, or you start with something else?
Basically, yeah, it was fairly close. I mean, I was like a young Democrat, and then I got involved in the anti-apartheid campaign, and then became an anarchist and continued with the anti-apartheid stuff. Got arrested and also did Latin American solidarity work. That was back in the 80s.
How old are you now?
36.
Oh. You know, recently you became kind of, I guess, in the news again. Is the FBI really investigating you now or what?
From what I've been able to figure out after talking to a libertarian friend of mine, is that the Cato Institute did call the FBI in regards to my... the joke I sent to Declan McCullough.
Email.
My email, yeah. It was an email I sent to him. But I haven't heard from anybody. I'm not too worried about it at this point.
What was the joke?
I was responding to a article by Aaron Lucas from the Cato Institute about the anti-globalization movement. And he called the Black Bloc the Black Blockheads, which is actually kind of funny. But it was early in the morning, and I was kind of cranky, and I sent a little note off saying, the effect of, you know, the Black Bloc just might be paying the Cato Institute a visit this fall, and libertarians who work in glass buildings shouldn't throw rhetorical stones. That's what I said.
So what did you mean by that?
Well, I was just trying to be funny. The Cato Institute has this headquarters building in D.C., which is all glass and all that, and I was trying to make the joke that they shouldn't be throwing, you know, making, you know, insulting us if they're gonna, you know, do that from behind their nice little corporate building and all that.
So they took it seriously?
Yeah, they took it seriously because they apparently got some graffiti and some stuff, and some of the windows were etched during the inauguration protests.
Oh.
January, which I didn't even know about until they told me about.
So that's why they thought it was a threat or something?
Yeah, they took it as a threat.
But you didn't mean it as a threat?
No.
So you think this phone call is tapped?
I don't know. I don't worry about this.
Yeah, we don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I always assume that they probably are.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's fine. Let's have some fun with these people. Actually, as you know, maybe there is a lot of interest about the Black Bloc in Europe, and so I would like to write something, you know, to make clear what is the Black Bloc and, you know, what are the stereotypes about the Black Bloc. One of the most used stereotype is this image of the Black Bloc as a bunch of kids. What do you think about that? What is actually the real picture here?
Yeah, well, that's interesting that people say that about the Black Bloc. The corporate press says that, and the left press says it more frequently.
Yes.
And I usually think the left press is doing that because they're trying to portray anarchists as a bunch of kids who are going through the rebellious phase, and once they get a little older, they'll become socialists and good Marxists.
Right.
And I think people just sort of see it as hooligan behavior because they've seen other are sort of riots, usually sports riots, and it's usually college students that do some of the things the Black Bloc does. Of course, the reality is the Black Bloc is mostly young people, but it's not as much as people think. I mean, there's a lot of older people involved. I know a lot of people in their 30s.
Yeah.
But you just can't tell because everybody's got a mask on.
Right.
I guess I tell people to look for the crow's feet in the eyes.
Yeah.
Guys.
And the other frequent critique actually is not just about the Black Bloc, but this American movement in general is, you know, the lack of diversity. The fact that, you know, it seems mostly a white male thing, and there is not much, you know, there is not much Black or Latino involvement. What do you think?
Yeah, that's been said a lot. I mean, that's kind of a fair criticism. In a way, I always say that, you know, in a way, there's more diversity in, like, the anti-globalization movement around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the corporate press asks me that question, I point that out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look specifically at, like, the anarchist movement, sure, it's not totally representative of, like, the American population.
Mm-hmm.
Although, one anarchist has told me that we really don't have a lot of evidence about who makes up the anarchist movement. We're trying to find it out right now.
Yeah.
I've traveled around a lot, and I've actually been somewhat surprised. I've been around the U.S. a lot this year talking to anarchists. I've been kind of, I think things have changed a lot since when I first became an anarchist 15 years ago.
Yeah.
There is any effort, you know, to cover these areas? I mean, to reach out Latinos and Black? There is a constructed effort to do so?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, there's some people like in that are trying to raise these issues within the anarchist movement. I know Chris Kraft, who's a writer in San Francisco, has been talking about that. Some of us have been trying to work more on local issues, trying to bring anarchist critique to local issues, like how neoliberalism affects local communities.
Right.
We had one of our older Black Bloc members was involved in a hunger strike last month here in D.C., like trying to prevent the closing of the hospital here.
Yeah.
I think there's a guy called by the name Otto Nomus.
Uh-huh.
Have you read his stuff on the web? He critiques, he's saying that there's this subcultural disconnect between, I mean, that's one reason why people of color don't sign up for anarchism, he says. He's supposedly a person of color, and he's saying that it's because they people just don't identify with the way with what they see of anarchists.
Yeah.
And that they don't do the outreach that they could, I guess, and they kind of expect you to come to them. I mean, the way they do it is not the right way that he critiques.
That yeah, I think I've read some of those critiques. I don't recall them offhand, but I think one problem with the anarchist movement is still pretty much based within the punk subculture.
Right, that was what his critique was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I think, has changed somewhat. Punks can have this attitude that, you know, they're very anarchistic, but they can also be very off-putting to outsiders. Don't look like them, which is kind of funny, since they're supposed to be nonconformists. Another thing is, let me see.
Yeah, his article is race, I think, autonomy and anarchy and something, and let's see, yeah, something about race and punk rock, basically.
Yeah, actually I've talked to the author of that. I know who that is.
Is that a pseudonym?
Yeah, and I think actually you probably know who that is.
Uh-huh.
He's a filmmaker out there in California.
Okay.
Okay.
The other thing, like, one of the things that's come up, you know, it's like little things, too, can be very off-putting. And this came up at the conference here in January, and one of them is, like, the crusty punks. You know, this sort of attitude that we can smell real bad and all that. That puts off activists of color. I mean, it's, like, kind of like a minor thing, but that sort of can add up.
What's that called? Crusty? What did you say?
Crusty punks. There's punk rockers that don't bathe.
Crusty.
Crusties. yeah.
C-I-U-S-T-Y?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And heard that, yeah. So it's a lifestyle thing?
Yeah, it's a lifestyle thing, yeah.
And the other issue, a very, very frequent question is about this, you know, how deep is the Zerzan, you know, influence in this Black Bloc?
How deep is the what influence?
John Zerzan.
Zerzan?
Yeah.
I don't really see him as an influence in the Black Bloc at all.
Not at all.
Other than maybe the Black Bloc that happened in Seattle.
Yeah.
But at this point, the Black Bloc has kind of, you know, it's just a tactic that's been used by around North America for different protests.
What do you think about, you know, what are the major authors that are, you know, most popular these days in the not only in the Black Bloc, but in the anarchist movement in the U.S.?
You're talking about the major authors?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because I've actually been, I actually did a poll question.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah,
I saw it on the webpage.
Yeah, Noam Chomsky is very popular.
Yeah.
People read Zerzan. People like Howard Zinn.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's not necessarily an anarchist, although people argue about that, but his most influential. It's, you know, the classics.
People read those.
I'm actually surprised at how much. The younger anarchists read the older books.
Do they read it off the web? Or through pamphlets, I guess, huh?
Well, they're actually reading the books.
Yeah, the real thing.
They're getting books from AK, and they go to used bookstores and pull them out. I guess another popular author I should point out is Crime Think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's becoming very popular.
I noticed that actually in that Eat Parade, I didn't see the name of Bay. Hakim Bey, is that?
Hakim Bey, he's influential. You know, he hasn't written anything lately, but you know, people still continue to read him and find some inspiration from some of his ideas.
Yeah, I just interviewed Ramsey from Ramsey Kanan from AK Press.
Yeah.
And he said that the CDs are the most popular, and I know they have, you know, Hakim Bey and Chomsky on CD through AK Press distribution. And he said that's what sells the most, actually, the media format, the CD stuff.
Yeah, that's what he told me. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he's actually sent me the new Mumia CD.
Great. Yeah. What is the relationship with other leftist group? I read a lot about, you know, the friction with the ISO, and I personally saw a lot of, you know, camaraderie and solidarity down in San Diego with the RCP. Is something changing with the RCP, or...?
The RCP, well, we don't have the RCP around here, actually.
Oh,
yeah?
Somebody has accused the RCP of being an influence on some of our projects here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They came out with a new program, supposedly.
Yeah, I've heard. I was at their website yesterday.
Right.
They've got this brand new program. I haven't read it yet, but
yeah.
We do have Refuse and Resist members here, and I know that...
I'm a member of Refuse and Resist.
Yeah, I know that wasn't RCP like the founders of that?
Yeah,
sort of.
Some people argue it's a front.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly like that, actually, to be honest. The Refuse and Resist is a multi-dimensional group. I'm not from the RCP, but definitely there is a strong influence.
Yeah, I know Refuse and Resist people here in D.C., and I'm actually might be having lunch with one of them in a couple of days, and I think... One of their members, who was in D.C., is actually in San Diego now. She was at the BioDev conference. She's an activist there now.
Yeah, I was there. Exactly.
I don't know if you know Lauren.
Lauren?
Lauren from D.C. Lauren. She had a butterfly costume on.
No, I mean, no.
She was in Refuse and Resist here, but, yeah, I don't know. I know the RCP has tailed anarchist protests in the past.
Yes.
Generally, I don't think anarchists find very much in common with them.
Yeah. And what about actually the green movement? I mean, the more radical part of the green movement, like Earth First or even the Earth Liberation Front. What is the relationship?
Well, I guess the green movement goes from Earth Liberation Front to the Green Party these days.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anarchists being involved in Everything from Elf to the Green Party. Although we don't know who's in Elf, so it's hard to say what their politics are, but it's kind of clear.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. The environmental stuff is more prevalent on the West Coast than it is out here.
Oh, I see.
And the Midwest. People out here on the East Coast, predictably, are a lot more interested in labor stuff. I've always seen it as, I always kind of see it as the East Coast being red and the West Coast green.
Yeah. So are the black blockers, do you see the black blockers as anti-red in that sense and more pro-green?
Actually, you know, on the East Coast, a lot of the black bloc people here are anarcho-communists.
Yeah.
Right.
And anarcho-syndicalists.
Right.
And maybe on the West Coast, I don't really know who's in the black bloc out there, but
right.
I mean, people mix it up, and
sure.
It depends on the location, really.
Yeah.
And do you know about this actually white overall movement in England and in Italy? Is
particularly
strong. And I sent you the email, so probably you know what I'm
okay,
talking about.
Yeah, I got that today.
And you know, there is a lot of talking about the similarity because of this G8 meeting that is coming up, and about, you know, the tactics and the similarities between Black Bloc and the White Over or the Wombles. And what do you think? What is your take on that?
Well, I like the tactic.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, I'd like to see that sort of militant tactic. Even if it's nonviolent, I just love, you know, these creative protests.
Right.
Confrontational protests. But I don't know what their politics are exactly. I mean,
there is a strong reference with the Zapatista movement. Is that something that is shared in the Black Bloc or?
Well, a lot of the Black Bloc members support Zapatistas.
Yeah.
I know I have a friend who's actually went down there last week.
Yeah.
And a lot of anarchists support Zapatistas, even though they're not necessarily anarchists.
Well, yeah, the even conceptually, you know, the main deal is that to reject that Leninist attitude of the past, you know, not to seek to seize power, but just, you know, to build up autonomous communities, and I think that may be a situation in which the Black Bloc can have some similar approach or some similar.
I think a lot of people that do the Black Bloc certainly support what the Zapatistas are doing, of like trying to build autonomy in that region and trying to, you know, run their own life without interference from the government and the multinational corporations.
And I actually noticed a very, very good article on your magazine. I don't remember now the name. The one that is on InfoShop. The
Anarchy
Review magazine or something like that.
Uh-huh.
On the social centers, there is a piece on the Italian, you know, squatter places.
Which, yeah, that was an alternative press review.
Yeah, exactly. So that's actually a pretty, pretty important phenomenon in Italy. And they're actually very similar conceptually with the Hakim Bey, you know, idea of TAS or PAS. Actually, these are permanently autonomous zones. And do you think that there is room in the United States for something like that? Or actually, there is already something like that going on in some places?
Well, I'd like to see more of it happen here in the States.
Yeah.
There are free spaces, you know, right? I mean, there are people creating free spaces. What they call free spaces.
Yeah, I like the idea of the sort of surreptitious social center idea.
Yeah.
I know I'm involved in trying to get an InfoShop going.
Right.
And we've been working on that for over 2.5 years, and that'll be open in February. It'll be part of a community center, so it's going to be like above ground and all that.
It'll be in Baltimore.
In Washington, D.C.
Ah, wow.
And we have another space in Tacoma Park called the Electric Maid, which is like a community living room sort of thing. But it's really hard to find spaces for alternative and radical activities to take place.
What is the response from the, you know, the repressive response from the police, because we definitely had to struggle quite a bit, you know, to assert our presence in the territory. What is, you know, the situation here?
With the police, where in D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, in the U.S., or, I mean, how you see these things happening in the U.S.? I mean, there will be a strong repressive response from the authorities, or?
It's hard to tell. There was an article in the Washington Post this morning about the police preparations for the fall protests, and they were saying they were expecting 40,000 people.
Right.
The funny thing was is that the most interesting part of the article was that they were trying to get police to come to the protests from Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York City, and Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
They're trying to call in reinforcements already. And it's hard to tell what they're going to do. They may try to do what they did last year and try to preempt, arrest people.
Right.
I don't think that they really, I don't think they have their act together, the police do. I just think that they're really unorganized, and what they're doing right now is just trying to respond, just brute force.
Right.
Do they label, as far as you know, are they labeling anarchists or the Black Bloc as a terrorist group?
They are trying, they haven't said anything like that yet. They're trying to say that that there will be militant activists coming to town who will be engaged in more violent activities, I guess. I have to see what it says in the paper here.
Yeah, I just pulled it up and looking at it, yeah.
So, what's coming up with this IMF meeting in D.C., what is in store?
Before I get that, they says the police chief says many protesters are strong-willed but have no intention of destroying property, but there are other groups that are hell-bent on destruction of business property and doing battle with police and trying to bring the city to a standstill, and we won't permit them to do that. So the police are actually trying to marginalize the anti-capitalists and the Black Bloc and everybody who...
they're going to monitor the websites, they said. Protesters'
yeah, yeah,
website.
They've... Yeah.
All the information we're getting right now is from the internet, so they're not claiming they're infiltrating the groups.
Well, yeah, I haven't really seen... I haven't been that suspicious of people in the groups yet.
Out here, there have been reports of infiltration, though. Out in the West, I mean, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lots huge, of, huge, huge.
Lots, yeah, lots. Even back last year, D2K conference, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually around here, they seem like they do it like much closer to the protest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they're saying if they're monitoring our websites, that means that they're monitoring the anti-capitalist convergence website, which I maintain.
Oh.
That's the one that's been up the longest and has the most stuff on it so far.
What's the URL for that?
www.abolishthebank.org.
Okay, right.
So yeah, we're getting ready for the World Bank IMF protest in the end of September, early October. There's two major coalitions that are working on those protests. The one that kind of is continuing from last year's protest is the Mobilization for Global Justice. And that's made up of NGO people, students, labor, left groups, anarchists, greens, and other people.
Yeah.
And we also have another thing called the Anti-Capitalist Convergence, which is sort of modeled on CLAC, which sort of put together the protests in Quebec City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we're organizing under an anti-capitalist rubric. And we have a Principles of Unity statement, which specifies that we're anti-capitalist and that we respect the diversity of tactics idea.
Right. So actually, I think that after Quebec City, is clear now that, you know, there are different tactics. There is now this monopoly on the protests, you know, as they try to do in Seattle, in terms of, you know, having something that is strictly non-violent and so on. I think that I read something from Starhawk saying that, you know, basically now it's sort of allowed and even conceptually allowed to have, you know, some differences within the movement.
Yeah, but there is still some tension there.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
But there's no one movement, right? I mean, that's the point, is that the idea of Benjamin say this is our movement, but...
I've been making the opposite point ever since Seattle.
Right.
After Seattle, Michael Albert, who writes for Z Magazine,
right,
wrote an article talking about which way for the movement, and I was trying to make a point that it's not one movement, it's many movements, many networks. And it's not like the 60s, we're trying to have one big movement to do everything, that there's a lot of different people involved, they have a lot of different goals, they come from different communities, they come from different countries, speak different languages,
right,
there are different ways of organizing, and, you know, it's really, you know, it's kind of a dumb idea to get everybody to unify under around, like, one thing.
Right.
Because, you know, that's diverse, and I think that trying to get everybody around one thing is trying to, like, convey, like, one soundbite to the media, and...
Yeah. How influential is the No Logo book to anarchists here?
Well, you know, I'm actually reading that book.
Yeah.
It's the Bible in Italy. I mean, in Europe, nobody, you know, is without the No Logo book. Everyone reads it from 7 to 70, you know. Amazing.
Hey, really? It's...
Yeah, I mean...
Do you think people here know about it?
Well, people know about it, but I don't think it's, like, as popular as it is elsewhere, especially American activists. Because there's a lot of, I mean, that Crime Think book is probably a little more influential on the younger anarchists than No Logo. I mean, I picked it up to review it. And it's pretty good. I mean, I'm really, like, just the beginning. I came across one part that I kind of made me mad, and I had to put it down.
Yeah.
Which she was saying, Naomi Klein was basically saying that we kind of have to live with branded space.
Right.
I'm like, wait, I kind of want a world where there is no branded space.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it is possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But she's talking about all the advertising taking over downtown Toronto. That's actually the part that I'm reading about right now.
Yeah.
All the,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it gets me really angry and into a rock-throwing mood, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're starting to do that in Washington, D.C. right now. They're starting to do the full building vinyl ads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... the good thing is there's sort of a grassroots groundswell against that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It isn't related to the activists.
Mm-hmm.
But people in D.C. already complained to the city council about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's going on with the Black Bloc? Is it going to stay? Is it going to be a huge presence in the future?
Well, the Black Bloc, as I see it, is always a tactic, so it's not really like an organization with mission or a policy or anything like that. We're going to have a Black Bloc here in Washington, D.C. People are starting to wonder if the tactic is maybe overused. I think we've had some problems with this, especially like in Los Angeles, as you guys probably know about. Another problem with it, it's a magnet for the cops.
Yeah.
Right.
Which could actually probably be used against them at some point.
Exactly.
Because then you can let the wobbles move in.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you're not going to Genoa, do you?
No. I don't.
Do you know if there would be a contingent from the American...
There are people going from Washington, D.C., I can tell you that.
Yeah? Okay.
I can't be more specific with the phone.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
And finally, actually, the most important question, how long before a very much needed soccer match between the Tutte Bianche and the Black Bloc?
Well, there was an opportunity next month, but I don't think any of us have been organized enough. The soccer people, the Eastern Cowboys,
uh-huh,
and UK have invited people from around the world to come to the Alternative World Cup.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, we're definitely looking forward to do so.
Yeah, so maybe next year.
All right. Okay, Chuck, that was great. I hope to see you actually in person sometimes, you know, either on the East Coast. I'm actually trying to get to Washington, D.C. for the IMF. but we will try to get something done also here in
California. Probably don't throw me in jail.
Yeah, well, that's the same year, you know. Or maybe we can get in the same, you know, jail.
I just wonder if they're gonna jaggy me.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Well, on that note, thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, thank you, chat.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.